wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
We're back for another huge week of the Gridiron Guys. Again, we're rolling around with the dates because unfortunately we tried to stick to the Tuesday day, but I was working out in a bit of Hicksville. Unfortunately, had no Wi-Fi, so it was unfortunately we had to postpone. So now we're here on a Wednesday. But again, as we've always said, this podcast, you can always consume it, come back and listen to them all. But that's all right. We're getting one out each week. Don't worry. Don't fret. We'll be here. Cam, you're here. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great, mate. I just want to give a huge shout out to Berrigan. What a town. They've sort of put you up for a few days and you've really let them go with some no reception, but they haven't really done you any favours, I suppose, but now you're back in the big smoke so we can get it going.
No favours at all. I tell you what, I even had to drive to the next town over because the Chinese restaurant at the Bolo didn't open until Wednesday night. So we were there Tuesday, so we had to go trottle over to the RSL across the other 20 minutes down the road to the next town. So it was a good shout, but that's all right. We got there. Got the nice porter house on the charge back, straight back to work. So they'll pay for that one and we're all good to go.
Oh, beauty. Sounds great, mate. All right, shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's get stuck into this week. Hey, I suppose a bit of breaking news. One of the ones is popping out. We saw the Buccaneers had come around. They were 100% fully vaxxed until the one and only Antonio Brown seemed to come into the mix. And I don't know if anyone really knows what he's – is he vaxxed? Is he not? But I've heard reports lately that he might not even be playing for them anymore.
Yeah, I did see they're potentially going to cut him, which is pretty crazy because I reckon some other team might pick him up, but I suppose unless they're not allowed to with this whole fake vax card status or not, whether he actually had a fake one, whether he had a real one or not, it's very hard to tell.
Yeah, it's an interesting play, to be honest. I mean, people are getting found out. This isn't bench warmers. You can't throw a little 50 in and say, I am 12 and vaxxed. It just doesn't work like that in the big leagues. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think we were talking about this before. Buccaneers are one of the healthiest team in the league at the moment. So he's really come good this year and been probably their top receiver for the start of the year. But look, you look at their list, they're healthy as ever, unlike some teams like yourselves. You guys just had another star that went down. Plenty of your cap is now in injured reserve. Ravens are in a bit of all sorts at the moment.
Yeah, look, I'm surprised we got this far going as well as we have. 8-4, I'm actually pretty happy. But, like, yeah, if you look at the list of players that we have out now, I think we've got one player from our secondary starting that we were projected to start from the start of the year. So that included two all-pro corners from 2019 that are gone, both running backs and an all-pro left tackle. So there's 25% of our salary cap sitting on injured reserve at the moment.
Yeah, and especially going with that tough loss on the weekend, I suppose it comes down to that sort of two-point play call. We've always talked about, you know, whether you want to be the convict and go for it or not. I know the coach came out and he said, Harbaugh, he said, look, had to go for it because I basically had no corners, had no secondary. Do you feel this was true or was this more of like a vibe thing? You know, you got to go for the win because if you go into OT and the momentum's clearly not in your side of the field, really. The Steelers had the one up on you where you're probably worried that you weren't going to be able to keep up in OT.
Yeah, it's probably partly that. And I think, yeah, maybe because we didn't have any starting corners ready to go. But, like, I don't hate the play. I think it's a good call. I think they want to back their quarterback. I think coaches always need to back their quarterback. If they show there's any signs that they don't trust them or don't back them, you can sort of lose a little bit of faith. So I think they put the trust in Lamar. I mean, he got pressured by TJ Watt on that play, which was business as usual for the rest of the game, which was just ridiculous. The play was fine. I think as Lamar came out and said, I think they weren't really on the same page with the route. He probably could have lofted it a bit much, but I was listening to Colin Cowherd, who was talking about it the other day, and that's 2 or 3 inches away from being a non-event, being a catch, being a touchdown, and no one speaking of it again. So, look, I don't mind the play. I was pretty upset we lost, but, look, you got to go for it. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it was a great read. It was just unfortunate. Mark Andrews had sticky hands the week before, and then this week just couldn't reach it in, but that's all right. I mean, that game was pretty horrendous up until at least the fourth quarter anyway, where it started to come alive a bit. The Steelers managed to go on a bit of a turn. Roethlisberger just fucking came out of nowhere, really, didn't he, almost?
Yeah, he wound back the clock, actually. He played like he was playing really well towards the end of the game and just found his man, unguardable, Deontay Johnson. Like, I don't think anyone could guard him. He just went off and like he came out with two touchdowns, some big plays. But yeah, Big Ben was playing well in that defense with TJ Watt, the pass rush. Just really like the amount of pressures that he copped in the game and escaped a lot, but also like got a lot of sacks. Got sacked 7 times, partly on him because he holds it up too long, partly on our line. Our line is just a bunch of turnstiles at the moment.
Yeah, moving forward, what do you think of the thoughts? You guys still sit on top of the AFC North. It's crowded at the top. You go in to face Cleveland next week, you know, 8-4, and they're at the bottom at 6-6. So it's really crowded around there. You really want to be winning these divisional games. You guys are 1-2 in your division at the moment. Cincinnati sit at 3-1, Pittsburgh 2-2, and Browns at 1-2. So at the moment, tiebreaker is not looking in your favor, but I suppose if you keep working those wins ahead and you just stay ahead, it's not going to become an issue really.
Yeah, the win this weekend's pretty crucial. I think if we can get another win in the division, we've got a pretty tough run home. I'm seeing Packers at home, Bengals away, Rams at home, Steelers at home. So we've got a few home games to finish, but all against decent teams that are competing for playoff spots and competing for wild card. So there's no easy games on the way. I mean, there's no easy games in the NFL, but our run home, given our status with injuries, I'm not hugely confident. I think you could probably put some money on someone else to take out the North at the moment.
Yeah. Rolling it back a bit to the Thursday night game, we had Taysom time in New Orleans, and he probably dominated the headlines, you know, had a bit of a mixed bag of a game, 260 yards, 2 TDs, but 4 interceptions, and then plus 100 yards on the ground. But I think credit where credit's due has really got to go to the defense for Dallas, because they lifted. They really brought the pressure on Taysom, made him feel uncomfortable. You saw him, you know, he got out and run and he ran 100 yards, but he also threw those 4 interceptions because he was literally pushed out of the pocket on every single drop back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I know when players say they want to play like Lamar Jackson, you didn't think Taysom Hill would take it quite literally and throw 4 picks exactly like Lamar did the week before. But I think a lot of this was like looking at his stats and yardage, I think there was a bit of stat padding at the end for him. They were down and out, and a 70-yard touchdown pass to Deontay Harris. Nice pass. But yeah, Taysom Hill really showing why they probably don't deserve that contract. That was really poor. But as you said, Cowboys defense, I think that's what's going to get them through to the end. They've got Washington coming up at the moment, who's playing pretty well, and we'll talk about later. But I think, do you think New Orleans are now out of the playoff race and done?
I'd probably say so, yeah, just because of their stocks at QB. You're sort of sitting there. I mean, I think Taysom is going to be better than Simeon, regardless of what anyone else thinks, regardless of the 4 interceptions on the weekend. 100%. Taysom's the better guy. He can give you, you know, if you get him comfortable in that offense, sure. And when he's rolling out of the pocket, sure. I don't think he's going to throw 4 interceptions every week. He's probably still going to throw a couple here and there, absolutely. But if you get him more comfortable, you get a more game plan suited around him. Everyone starts getting used to that more sort of maybe guy that's going to roll out of the pocket, run first, rather than settle in and wait for the heat to come hit him. The offense is going to roll a bit better. Looking at their division, though, I think he sit currently on the bottom with Carolina and Atlanta at 5-7. Tampa Bay lead their division. The NFC is quite strong in the wild card, so I really don't think they're at a chance of sneaking in at all, to be honest.
No, I think I agree with you. I think they're down and done. I think if they continue on this trend, they could be looking for a quarterback in the draft, do you think?
Yeah, I think long distance, because Jameis was good. Let's be honest. Jameis had a great start of the year. He was quite good. So I think you potentially got a serviceable guy there, and he's probably on the cheap as well, because I can't imagine it took much to get him there. He was sitting as a backup before, and he hasn't sort of re-signed any big deals or anything as the starter. So, I mean, you've sort of got to look again. We're sort of talking about this draft is going to be one where guys are going to sort of, it's not the generational talents, you know, probably the Heismans that got announced, Bryce Young, Kenny Pickett, and CJ Stroud. Kenny Pickett, the only senior. Bryce Young's a sophomore, so I'd probably unlikely to see him enter for the draft this year. He's probably going to have another year, you'd think, unless he goes bananas in the championship game, but who knows at the moment. But, you know, you've got guys like Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett, and a few Cole, others. I forgot Ole Miss from the Ole Miss, Matt Howell. So I suppose, you know, these guys are going to drop. If it's at the right time and the right pick, I think it's a perfect idea, but they've definitely got a perfect guy coming back in Jameis.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Looking at a couple of games on the slate, the Cardinals were back to their best, weren't they? They rolled in. They're back to top of the NFC, I believe. Kyler Murray was back. He didn't have to throw too much. But the defense really got around and pressured Andy Doherty, another bloke with two TDs and four interceptions.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cardinals are probably the best team in the NFC. Well, it's hard to say, I suppose. Like, he didn't actually have to do too much. Kind of low stats, not many huge stats at all. But, I mean, the Bears really aren't much chop. I can't see them doing much in the future. I think it's going to be interesting because I think the Cardinals play the Rams this week. Rams are still sort of there and abouts. I don't know how close it is in the division at the moment, but that can kind of play a fact in the going down the stretch for them.
Yeah, absolutely. They sit at 10-2 Arizona and Rams at 8-4, so right behind each other. Arizona sit 4-0 in their division. So we got to remember they absolutely pants the Rams first time they saw. So, and they've also got, we had Kyler Murray back. We already had DeAndre Hopkins back. So they're firing on all cylinders. You think it's probably not a bad time to get the Rams. They had a decent, you know, piggyback win over the Jags this weekend. Little confidence booster after those last couple of weeks. OBJ got a TD and things like that. So, I think Rams probably still looking a little bit fragile, but they're starting to come together. So I think this could be quite a good divisional matchup. Probably set up if Arizona win this one against the Rams, that's going to put them 3 wins ahead in their division, probably locks that one up for them.
Yeah, they'd absolutely be home in that one. So that's probably one to look forward to this week. One of the early slate of the games that I watched was Chargers-Bengals. Now, this was a cracker. I think Chargers broke out to a 24-0 lead and then Burrow, I mean, after he got injured, I think he dislocated his pinky, so it wasn't looking good. But they brought him back 24-22, and you thought, shit, this game's got it all. They've come back. This is going to be tight. And then Chargers just blew him out again. Fumble from Joe Mixon, which is really unlike him, caused a touchdown to the house. And I think they just ran away with it from there.
Yeah, that really put the pressure back on Burrow, and he was then able to claw it back with some drives. Look, Joe Mixon up to that point was having an absolute rip snorter of a game. He'd just gone away, scored a TD. It was great. Burrow, you know, came back. He was really starting to get into his rhythm as well. And you just started to think, these are the two guys from that last draft. We saw, wow, this is the next generation. They're really going at it. But after that fumble, the turnaround from the defense of the Chargers just put the pressure on. And then you turn that into scoreboard pressure on the other side, short fields from the Chargers, and they were able to get it done.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They ran away with it in the end, and they're starting to look again like the team we thought they were. They had a bit of a slump. The one I'm interested in from that game, and I suppose we look at him from a fantasy point as well, but also offensive rookie of the year, Ja'Marr Chase. Started the year like a house on fire. I mean, he had 5 catches for 52 yards here. He had a catch in the start of the game. Sorry, it wasn't a catch in the end. Hit him, dropped it straight into the arms of the Chargers player for an intercept. Now, has he hit a bit of a rookie wall, or do you think teams have started to sort of work out how to defend him now they've got a bit of footage? I don't know. Like, are they double teaming, or are they just sort of working out a little bit of his routes?
I think they're working a little bit out, because we always said at the start, we saw he struggled at that first sort of like 5-7 yards where that crucial sort of make or break, you try and get that little separation. He was always a little bit slower off the mark. His 100 meters over, like, say, 40 to 100 meters dash is unreal. It's unparalleled. But it's sort of getting off that mark. He struggled to get off that mark. So those short, quick throws, he's been unable to get that great separation. So if they're able to drop back and double team and get rid of that, I suppose, that throw behind where he's able to beat the center, the cornerback over the behind, they can pretty much nullify him quite well. Credit to him, his hands have been great. Unfortunately, there was just that one drop there. But look, potentially a little bit of a rookie wall, but if it's like a 5-game slump, I think you got to be pretty happy if he comes back and finds his way into form for the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to write him off. I just think it's going to be interesting towards the end of the year who we say is the best rookie wide receiver in the bunch, because there's a few starting to put their names up.
Bro, well, what about comebacks today? Gardner Minshew. Minshew Mania is back, baby.
Whoa, what a way to come back. And his celebration after the game with his dad was electric. He was so pumped up. What has he gone? 80%, 242 yards and 2 TDs. I saw a little stat today. I think Minshew in last 5 games, I mean, he's only played one, has thrown 2 TDs. Trevor Lawrence in his last 5 games has thrown 1 touchdown. So, I mean, a little bit of a weird comparison. But look, I'm happy for him. I think he suits the Eagles. The Eagles are really, like, they're not a bad team. Hurts, I don't think he's horrible, but I don't think he's what they're looking for, because, I mean, they still broke out run game. Like, they still had 180 odd yards on the ground without Hurts. So I think they're still capable of running it. Now they've got a guy who can pass. So we'll see what he's like if they start him this week.
Yeah, it absolutely worked from a treat. Like you saw, they scored on their first 7 drives. I mean, if you're able to score every drive for the first like quarter and a half, geez, that's got to put some absolute nails in the coffin for the defense on the other side. Like, that would be an absolute just mind blower. You'd coach killer, to be honest. And I suppose, look, Wilson was sort of back again. He did all right, still threw an interception. So what's new there, I suppose. But yeah, look, Eagles looking well. Again, we're saying this sort of division of theirs as well is kind of crappy enough that they can sort of slowly work their way if they sort of potentially keep Minshew. I think they could potentially be a threat to the wild card if they keep Minshew. Hurts comes back. I don't see them as that much of a threat.
No, I agree. And I think this NFC East is up for grabs. I suppose Washington 6-6, Eagles 6-7, so they've played an extra game. Cowboys 8-4, so they haven't, like, Eagles have played the extra game, but they've got Washington twice, Giants and Cowboys to finish off the season. I think there's a lot of NFC East division games to finish off the year. I mean, that is up for grabs, especially this week with the Washington and Cowboys game.
Yeah, and coming together, a couple other games. Seahawks rallied to beat San Francisco in what we thought should have been a runaway game, considering the sort of form that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks have been in lately. San Fran just unable to do it. Look, I don't know. What are you thinking about this? Like, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's obviously putting together some drives, you know, 20 from 30, 299 yards, two TDs, two interceptions. But and I suppose it goes down to that last play on the fourth down or whatever we all look at. But it's more the rest of his game that they probably didn't need to be at that point. They probably should have been that far ahead that they wouldn't have needed to go on that fourth down.
I agree. You wouldn't think so. But looking at the scores here, 9 minutes to go, they were in the second quarter. They were 17-7 up and ended, 23-6 points rolling out the game. So I think I thought San Fran were potentially a playoff team. But again, I'm still scratching my head at where they're at the moment. It's kind of a tough one.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And I suppose finishing up a couple other games, Chiefs beat the Broncos. We were sort of talking about this, you know, it was actually quite a close game considering the scoreboard. I believe that potentially they should have had a you take away their interception. That was a pretty shit throw, whatever. And, you know, the bad play calling of us at the end of the second quarter, we probably should have. We went for it a couple of times, but ended up losing it on downs instead of potentially going for a field goal when we probably weren't making, we weren't going to score. So we probably should have rolled that in. You take that away. Look, end score is potentially 12-15. You know, that's what it really should have been. That's what I take away from this game. No bias whatsoever, but 15-12. I'm seeing that as a win against the red hot, what is now red hot Kansas City team at the moment.
It's very interesting you say that. Now, I've seen a lot of people talking about Kansas City, and our issues with them at the start of the season was the defense. We were saying Mahomes isn't the issue. Defense is the issue. They've kind of clicked to the defense, and the defense is playing unbelievably. Mahomes still isn't killing it as everyone expects him to. Now, are they saying he isn't potentially as good as what they talk? I know he had those unbelievable years, and we're always going to have those years where he was just so dominant. But looking over the last few weeks, now I'll take out of equation the Raiders game where he threw 70%, 406 yards, 5 touchdowns, no intercepts. The other 4 games outside of that in the last 5, Giants, he threw 60%, 1 touchdown. Next game, 166 yards at 55% and 1 touchdown. Dallas, he threw for 260 yards, no touchdowns and an intercept. And against you guys, 180 yards, no touchdowns and an intercept, 50% completion. I don't know if that's good enough to get them deep into the playoffs. He is quality, but it's the offense now for me that's struggling a bit more than the defense. The defense is starting to play a lot better. So is it glaring those issues of him? I don't know.
Yeah, possibly a little bit. He's definitely not producing what you would hope for. He's not able to get it out. I mean, there is a wild, vicious rumor going around that it's possibly Tyreek Hill's fault that he's getting a lot of these interceptions. there's a video going around on Instagram where a lot of Tyreek's drops are ended up falling into corners or safety's hands. So, I mean, if you're a Patrick Mahomes lover, go down that route. Believe that. But I think, yeah, look, it takes all kinds. It's a team, really. You've all got to work together. Patty Mahomes is there to throw, and currently he's not. So, look, if people are able to keep the pressure on, and I think if you get a better team, not that there's many better teams than Denver, just, again, non-biased view, you know how it is, but there may be just a couple at the top there, I think. But you sort of get a team like that, and they're able to starve him in possession like we were for a fair bit there. And just put the pressure on him when he throws and things like that. If you're able to get that scoreboard pressure on him, you're going to force him to take more throws. Like, we didn't even really have scoreboard pressure. He's thrown 29 times and sort of got about 50%. If you start getting those early touchdowns in that first, second quarter, he's going to end up throwing 40, 50 times. You know, you're looking at that 50% completion rateage, and there's potentially more ideas for interceptions there.
Yeah, totally agree. Now, look, I don't want to slag him off and say he's not that good, because he obviously is a man with superior talent and he's a very good quarterback. So I think it's just one that we're going to keep an eye on, because I think we sort of put all the blame on the defense for a long time and he didn't really cop much of it. So I'm just curious to see how they're going to go moving forward.
All right. And I think that all basically, do we want to wrap it up with the thrilling game from Tuesday?
Yeah, look, the Tuesday game, the snowstorm, the blizzard was ridiculous. Mac Jones throwing three passes total. That's a Belichick masterclass. I think that really favoured the Patriots. I think the Bills on a non-windy game, I know you have to play to the conditions, but I think the Bills probably really suffered more on that game.
Yeah, for sure. They just ran the shit out of that footy, I suppose. Truck nut. And look, it worked. I think Mac Jones, he got plenty of the footy handing it off, so they got plenty of practice doing that, I suppose. But It is interesting, I suppose, the mastermind's at work here, and look, it's done it. And now they sit atop their division. And as always, I don't know how they do it, but the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick are inevitable. No matter what you say, they are inevitable year in, year out. There's nothing that can really stop them.
No, there's not. 1 year slump and they're back to where they were before. So look, it's frustrating to see them back at the top. But look, it's, I think eventually they're probably going to come up against teams that are going to force Mac to probably, or he's going to get in situations where he's going to have to throw more. And I think that's where it's really going to test him. So I don't know how deep they go, but they definitely are capable of going quite deep this season, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a great week 13, but I think we'll move on to our awards then. Moving to our rookie watch, who have we got this week for yourself, Cam?
This week I have gone to the Miami Dolphins rookie, Jalen Phillips. So this man has come to life on the Dolphins D, as have the Dolphins over the last few weeks. Coming out of the Miami University, Phillips, nearly 2 meters tall, 120 kilos, coming off the edge. I think there were massive raps on him, and I think there was all talks of him going anywhere between the top 10 and sliding down. The last 3 weeks, he's just caught fire. Collected 6 sacks, including 2 against against New York Giants. And this week, and 3 against Carolina the week before. So he has now 8.5 total sacks, which is second in rookies, only to Michael Parsons, who we know is probably taking out Defensive Rookie of the Year. So Phillips is really making a case now.
Yeah, huge game from him. This week for myself, I've gone for the Ernest Jones, the linebacker from LA. Now, he was sort of a no-name coming out through college. He come through pick 103 for the Rams. So this week he ended up totaling about 9 tackles. He got a sack, pass defense. He got multiple hurries on the QB. He got multiple run stops, including 3 tackles for losses. And he was just an out there all over Jacksonville. So, and he's starting to make his mark, I suppose, and make a name for himself, as we said. So a bit of a no name, not on anyone's boards at the start of the year, but now he's starting to come into his shell and work his way through it.
Yeah. Brilliant. Love that.
All right, and then moving on to our flying and dying. Who have we got flying this week?
Flying, I'm going to dip back into the Miami Dolphins again. I've just had Jalen Phillips, but I think the team in itself, after coming last 5 weeks, they're on a 5-game win streak. 4 of those 5 games, they have only allowed 10 points or less. So this defense is starting to play lights out. So they're currently just sitting outside the playoffs, and I think I saw the other day they'd be the first team that started the season 1-7 to ever make the playoffs. Looking at their run home, I don't think it's overly difficult. I think there's 2 teams that are over 500 in the Titans and the Patriots, whether the Titans have Derrick Henry or not, Patriots being the most difficult one, but I think it's down at Hard Rock Stadium. So that's one that they're actually pretty good at. But I think that not only are the defense playing well, I think Tua is not getting enough reps at the moment. I think last 3 games, 80% completion, 747 passing yards, which is about 250 a game, 5-1 touchdown intercept ratio, and 108 quarterback rating. I think he's playing decent enough and serviceable enough to keep them humming. A lot of checkdowns there. I think he likes that, but he's got Waddle in the outfield, Gesicki, and the defense is playing well. So this is a team to watch out for down the stretch.
He's massive, yeah. I've gone a similar one this week for flying. Another team that's on a bit of a win streak, the Washington football team. Now, ever since being beaten by the one of the top teams in the league, the Broncos, 17-10, they've gone on a 4-game win streak as well. So they've gone from 2-6 to 6-6, knocking off the Buccaneers, the Panthers, the Seahawks, and the Raiders on their way. So some decent fanciful guys. It's been our guy, Tyler Heinicke, who's led these guys. He's put together drives. He's been able to construct wins out of nothing. You know, we just thought he was going to be a placeholder for our guy, Fitzmagic, but I think he's retired Fitzmagic right now. But another shout out goes out to Gibson. He's been the one running the nut just outstandingly these past couple of weeks, pretty much notching up around 100 yards each game, you know, plus or minus and things like that. So it's been a barnstormer considering we thought they might be a decent defense, but after Chase Young went down, we just thought these guys are a non-event. And as I said, they're so going to come in and they're going to come into the playoff picture potentially with their NFC least division.
Yeah, I'm really liking them at the moment. They're starting to play a pretty good footy. My biggest question for them next year, and I know I'm looking already ahead to next year a fair bit, is what do they do with Taylor Heinicke? Like, are they going to move on and draft a quarterback, or are they going to get someone to sit behind him? I just have no idea what their plan is moving forward.
Look, it's an interesting one you say that. I don't think Heinicke's going to be a guy that you sit someone behind. You know, you want to sit someone behind like a Ben Roethlisberger or a Tom Brady or something like that so they can kind of learn something. I think Heinicke's out there actually learning his craft as he goes. So you're either going to go out and get an absolute throbber who's going to replace him, or you're probably just going to get some B-grade, like, backup quarterback who does the journeyman rounds or something just to play ball behind him, I suppose. So, look, it could be Heinicke time in football team for a while.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't hate it. I think, I don't know how far they'd go with him. I don't think he's someone that's going to win him a Super Bowl, so they probably will eventually look out there. But, yeah, it's just going to be curious to see what they do come the end of the season going into next year.
Absolutely. And then moving on to dying, who have you got?
I sort of got a bit of a combination one here. I've gone Mac Jones's passing game against the Bills, but most likely the Pats fantasy receivers. I saw Kendrick Bourne today saying, oh, if you don't like it, just drop me. I think obviously their receivers only got one catch for the whole game. So if you had any of them on your team, it's really unfortunate because they threw it three times for one completion or two completion. I can't remember. Yeah. One of the two, but it really wasn't setting the world on fire. But look, Pat still got the win and Pat's doing Pat's things.
It was a tough day out. Bill should have really gone and deflated the footballs a bit so he could throw it more for the guys to catch. So, but anyways, for myself dying, I had the Minnesota Vikings and our, you know, MVP dark horse, Kirk Cousins, managing to lose the unlosable game and give the Detroit Lions their first win. Now, all happy for the Lions, but the Vikings, unfortunately this year, they've just allowed teams to just sort of be in with a sniff every time they've played. It's always been a close game. And now you give the Lions a chance from 11 yards out for the final play of the game. And you just, I don't know, they didn't stack the box. I think they only went for like a cover two or three. And, you know, Amon Saint Ra gets free and manages the TD for the W, walk-off TD win.
Yeah, look, the Lions blew out to a 20-6 lead. And then, look, are you surprised that Kirk Cousins has had a good statistical game and the Vikings have still lost? I think that's part and parcel for the year this year for them. But, yeah, what a comeback. I mean, that final drive, like, we were just so unsure whether they were going to get it done. The Lions have been so close this year. And, oh, look, I'm glad that they got it. I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so now we're going to move on to our team of the year. Again, we're replacing some guys from who had previous good games, and we're tying them up against some new throbbers. So who have we got this week for yourself? I think you're on the offense this week.
Yeah, offense this week. I don't know if I had offense last week as well. I probably did. So last week we got Jonathan Taylor replaced Derrick Henry, not purely on the fact that Henry was going bad. I suppose he was out. But this week we are looking at Justin Jefferson, and I think we've got three wide receivers sitting there at the moment. We've got Kupp, Devontae Adams, and Tyreek Hill, and we're probably going to look for him to replace Tyreek Hill. So, look, Jefferson had a monster game against the Lions, even though they lost. 11 receptions, 182 yards, and the go-ahead touchdown before they got their hearts broken. And, look, he leaves him second in receiving yards with 1,209, 7 TDs, which leaves him 8th, 78 receptions, which is 7th. So he's top 10 in all categories. So, look, I think you can't have Justin Jefferson not on this team.
Yeah, look, as I said before, Tyreek Hill is calling more interceptions than touchdowns at the moment. So we'll leave it up to the voters, the members. They'll get on there. But also this week for defense, I have out in the cornerback position, we've got JC Jackson from the Patriots. He had a good game this week, as we said, kept Buffalo to 10 points. Going up against Marshon Lattimore of the Saints. Now, Lattimore has gone out this season. He's sitting with 40 tackles at the moment. He's got 0 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions, and 14 passes defensed. But then we move across to Jackson's stats. He's got 36 tackles, 1 forced fumble, 7 interceptions, and 17 passes defensed. And I believe he also has a touchdown into his name this year. So Jackson sits number 2 for interceptions and first for pass defense, which is probably your main thing for a cornerback, really. Whereas Lattimore sits 27th for interceptions and 2nd for passes defensed.
Yeah, the man's been unreal. He's been locked down this year. I think that, as well as that, I think the amount of times he's been targeted and the quarterback rating when he's been passed to is just phenomenal. So I think Jackson's going to be very hard to go past.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, as we said, those will be out on our polls. Get voting and we'll update that team. Now we will move on to the Week 14 preview.
Yeah, what have we got on Thursday night?
Steelers versus the Skol. Vikings, baby. They will be looking to bounce back and hopefully dealing the Steelers a bit of a loss. I don't know. As we said, Big Ben, he's potentially past it, but could he be able to pull string together another win against probably a dusty Vikings?
Yeah, look, this is such a Steelers season. Like, you think they're down and out. You're always counting them out, and then they just seem to somehow bounce back. I think Steelers probably win this one, but I mean, Kirk Cousins, I think, as we said just before, has been having a great season. So I don't think there's any reason to suspect them to, like, bow out. But I think is Dalvin Cook, he's out for a while now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's listed as questionable, but I'm pretty sure he was out for several weeks.
Yeah, okay. So, look, yeah, I think Steelers probably take this one.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm probably going to vibe on Minnesota just a little bit. That home advantage, it's going to be fucking cold out there. I tell you what, if it was snowing last week, Jesus, can you imagine that place on a Thursday night?
Well, thankfully, they do play indoors. I think US Bank Stadium is a nice little indoor stadium.
Ah, whoops, my bad. they might have the roof open if they can, but if I was Minnesota, I'd be turning the aircon on so they get that home ground advantage. But look, you know, Kirk Cousins, 25 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. As we said, potential dark horse. The only thing that's going to keep him out of MVP conversation is their actual record, which is 5-7 at the moment. It's below 500. It'd be absolutely diabolical if he even gets a mention at MVP at the end of the year with this sort of record. But he's putting together some drives. Is it enough to go against Pittsburgh? That defense is absolutely humming at the moment. Like, TJ Watt is an absolute god right now. He is just taking on everything and anyone and just eating them whole, like an anaconda, essentially. He just goes in. He doesn't even take a bite. He just swallows.
Oh, the man's a fucking beast. I think he just ate Lamar Jackson up, and I think that was a perfect game for him. I think we struggle against the zero blitz because we can't read the pass. But look, he's on, what, 16 sacks for the year. He's leading at the moment, and he's definitely in the contention for Defensive Player of the Year for me.
Boys got to get it, man. All right, now moving on to, you're playing the Browns for the second time in 3 weeks. Great scheduling there. What are your thoughts on this one? You head to Cleveland.
Yeah, look, again, I, like with all these players out and Marlon Humphrey out especially, this one is a massive one for our secondary. I'm worried. I know Baker struggles to throw, but this could be get Baker's game to jump back, prove that he's a good thrower, good passer, because we are very much lacking in the secondary, and he could probably take advantage of that. So it's kind of a worrying game for me. I'm not very confident, actually.
And then I suppose if you flip it on the offensive side for yourself, Lamar holding the ball a lot lately, they've got some great rushes in at Garrett and those sort of boys. So you can expect that he's going to be pressured heaps. And I mean, look, he managed to get away from them a lot the week before. We mentioned his, you know, creativity and elusiveness was unbelievable, but lightning strike twice?
Yeah, look, I think that's going to be the biggest issue, as you said. Like, he does hold on to things probably a little bit too long, and he doesn't find those open players or the passes. He kind of scans the field and just still holds on to it. And people are sort of just starting to work that out a little bit now. I'm not going to fully blame him, but he's starting to frustrate me a fair bit, actually. Like, he is good, but our offensive line is also having massive struggles. So it's a bit of a combination, but Lamar's got a little bit of the blame for me at the moment.
Yeah, for real. Now, big AFC West matchup, Las Vegas Raiders versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Probably a couple of weeks ago, we probably would have leaned towards the Raiders. But as we said, the defense on the Chiefs has been able to work their way back into the season, bringing them to 8-4. At the home ground advantage, I think they just get ahead there. Oh, they're rated 71% chance of win on the ESPN matchup.
Yeah, right. No, look, that's interesting. I'm pretty happy to see some of the Raiders fans go back into their box at the moment. They were chirping earlier on in the season. Things have gone steadily downhill. Chiefs are starting to ascend. Look, I think Mahomes is the interesting one in this one. I think they've got a pretty good pass rush, the Raiders. Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue getting in the backfield a fair bit. So that's ones that are going to trouble him. So I'm curious to see how he goes against them.
Yeah, absolutely. Another great matchup. We look to the next round. The Broncos play the Lions. So look, we obviously the best team play the worst team in the league. So that's fine. We should be able to roll home with that one. I absolutely believe in our defense. And I think the best thing is Javonte Williams is going to get his second start in running back. So Melvin Gordon has been taking the reins, but the rookie has been absolutely running through and he's been playing lights out. Now, he is a genuine nut trucker. He leads the league in yards after contact. Now, for a rookie who is going in, he's just putting the shoulder pads down and saying, come and fucking tackle me because I'm going to roll over you like a steamroller, baby. Oh, it's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I love him. And like, he probably is close to leading the league in broken tackles too because, as you said, he just fucking runs and just does not even think about his body or anything like that, just takes on everything.
Yeah, old UNC is looking like RB University at the moment, punching out those boys. So it's great stock over there. But anyways, a couple other good games that pique the eye. I think we've got the 49ers and the Bengals, which could come together. I think Bengals should win this one straight easily. But I don't know. You just can't count the 49ers out. We've said on paper they're a great team. It's just they just haven't been able to get it off the paper onto the field.
Yeah, two really good teams that are unpredictable. I think both we've tipped them horribly this year. I think Bengals we expect to win, get dusted, and then they turn up into the next week. Same as the 49ers. We probably expected them to knock off Seattle, and they didn't.
Yeah, but it'll be an interesting one again. They've got some great guys. Joe Burrow versus Garoppolo. You've got Mitchell versus Mixon or even Deebo Samuel, who has become a man of many talents. He's basically a Swiss Army knife at the moment with his running and catching and things like that. We've also got Ja'Marr Chase, who's hopefully coming again. Will we see a touchdown from him this week? Potentially against this, you know, a plucky secondary out at San Francisco.
Yeah, we'd love that. Good for our fantasy. But yeah, look, they've got some pretty good receivers. I suppose T. Higgins stands up and a few others. But yeah, look, I just don't know who I can pick in this one. I think I'm probably going to have to lean the Bengals. Just depends on how Burrow's hand's going, actually. I suppose there's a little bit of a worry with the injury there, but we'll see how he bounces back.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we move on to the Bills v. the Buccaneers. Now, this could always play again. It's over in Tampa Bay as well, so hopefully it'll be a bit nicer weather for Joe Allen and the boys to maybe put on a bit of a score fest here.
Yeah, look, this is one of the games I'm looking forward to the most. I think the Bills probably were a bit unfortunate with the weather, but, yeah, they're probably going to get nicer weather this week, as you just said. Buccaneers, as we said earlier in the show, are super, super healthy. Tom's just playing behind a line that just he rarely gets pressured. I think he had zero pressures this week. And I found it funny. They played the Falcons and they were winning all game and he still threw 51 times and 30 checkdowns. So, I mean, just going back to back, stock standard plays, just checking it down. But I don't understand why he threw so much in a game where they were winning by so much.
I suppose you look at him now, he's probably leading the league. So he's just padding those stats, getting ready for that last final MVP conversation, I suppose, again.
Correct. Exactly.
Just feed the nut to our boy Lenny, baby. Run our fantasy team for us.
Oh, 100%. I mean, him and Godwin we were very happy with this week. But yeah, look, Lenny, hopefully we can get some more out of.
And then finishing off, we've got two nice divisional matchups. We got the Sunday night game, Bears v. the Packers. Look, you think the Packers should roll this one at home as well. Rodgers is in flying form ever since he got properly vaccinated, I think, not just immunized against throwing footy. And especially considering Chicago probably rolling out Andy Dalton again, I think. Fields still injured.
Yeah, I believe so. Look, it's interesting. When I was looking at injured reserves, I was kind of going through this list when I was looking at our team, looking at how sad I was. Packers are one that have a lot of good players on injured reserve. I think Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander, Elton Jenkins, whatever you say his name, all sitting on the pine because they're injured. And these guys are still delivering with great performances. So, I mean, if they get those guys back in the next few weeks, Packers could make a nice tilt towards the Super Bowl.
Geez, absolutely. Yeah. And then finishing it off again, we mentioned this earlier, the final divisional matchup on Monday night, the Cardinals hosting the Rams.
Yeah, I think as you said earlier, the Rams sort of had a nice and easy game last week, so we're not really sure what to expect. Defense is still good. Cardinals, though, I think, as you said, are humming. Kyler is back. DeAndre Hopkins is back, which I think is a huge thing for them. I think he's just such a good receiver. Opens it up for Zach Ertz and a few others.
Yeah, and look, we've got our boy James Conner. I told you this at the start of the year. You feed that kid the nut, he gets back to those old Pittsburgh days. Gee whiz, he's been the sleeper of the season, I think, if anyone of fantasy has been looking. This guy started sort of the year as the backup running back, probably, you know, not going to be getting too many, but he's just fed, and I think he leads them now. He's got over 600 yards and 12 TDs on the ground, plus the multiple ones he's been able to pick up on the air as well.
An absolute fantasy star, and I think I dropped him after the first week or two. And you weren't happy with me because I think we lost a game or so. We got him back, and we're on the right track at the moment, so I'm going to have to apologize for that one.
That's all right. It's okay. I am good at some things. I do know how to pick some things, I will be honest. So, I mean, let's not forget, you're still zero in best bets, so I won't bring that up too much.
Yeah, I might have to start going for some one-leggers and just really getting the green ticks rolling.
All right, but I think that rolls us up. Oh, we should move on to college football. It was a great week of championship games, wasn't it? This was unreal. Started off with on Saturday, Oregon got rolled by Utah again. Like, they basically played each other a week or two ago, and it was pretty much exactly the same score. So I think they literally learned absolutely nothing from that.
No, it's funny that, because I think Utah, when we saw them rolling home at the end of the season, we're like, oh, they're not too bad. They could get a few upsets here. I think those first few weeks were just a blemish on their record. They're a really good team. And look, they've caused Oregon to lose their coach. I think their coach has now gone to the U, Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking about a lot of players are moving from the transfer portal or they're not playing in their bowl games, but how about the amount of coaches that are just not coaching their team for the rest of the season because they've just left?
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. I think I've written down a few when we've talked about the games and the coming up bowl games, but yeah, look, it's bloody ridiculous.
Moving on to the Big 12 championship game. Gee whiz, this was, well, I mean, it was a tight game. It was not a stunner, especially on the side of Oklahoma State. Poor old Sanders had probably the worst game of his life ever, but Oklahoma, credit to them, they still had a chance to win it at the death, and they literally just came an inch short.
Oh, we were talking to each other during this game, far out. This was ridiculous. And I think, I mean, credit to the Baylor defense. The Baylor defense, I think, got two goal line stops in the game, and I think they went for them both on fourth down, stopped them both times. So, I mean, that's where the game's won. As we've talked about before, we're in the trenches, but that was so agonizingly close. I could not believe that final play.
Yeah, it's tough. And it pretty much shot Oklahoma State out of playoff contention. There was talk of if they got that win, they could potentially leapfrog our boys, the Bearcats, just because they're a Power 5 win. We wouldn't have been happy about it. But look, all's worth it. Baylor, unfortunately, they're going to rue that loss to TCU because they had lost to Oklahoma State earlier in the season. Is that correct? They then lost to an unranked TCU. So I suppose if they were basically just carrying that Oklahoma State loss in, they could have quite easily been on song for the playoffs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they were unfortunate at the time they came up against TCU. The new coach curse, when a team gets a new coach, they're very good at winning the game. So I think they faced them after they lost their coach the week before, Gary Patterson.
All right. Look, probably skip the Mountain West. Utah State beat San Diego State, who was ranked 46-13. The Raging Cajuns won the Sun Belt Conference Championship over Appalachian State 24-16. So the Final Four Big Daddies will roll in the ACC Championship game. For the first time in a while, it wasn't Clemson just dicking everyone for once. We had Pittsburgh versus Wake Forest, both teams that have been sitting around, you know, they're ranked. Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett, their QB, he's been nominated for the Heisman as well. He easily had one of the best years of a QB. But look, Pittsburgh, too big for them, and their defense came out and just rolled Hartman. He threw four interceptions as well on a tough day.
Yeah, I think player of the game for me for this game was the fake slide, the QB slide, running down the field, feigned it, ran in for a TD. I think that was just unbelievable. Pickett, I'm curious to see where he goes next year. He's obviously getting picked up first round. I'd like to see him land a pretty decent team and see what he can do.
Yeah, I think if you get a great team around him and a good coach to nurture him, he could become a star in the NFL. You just saw his eyes up footy is just absolutely unreal, as you said. Then we move on to, let's go to the Big Ten championship game. Michigan just dicked Iowa. We were pretty on Iowa at the start of the year. They had a couple of troubling wins. We always said it was going to be their defense that was going to get them out of trouble. They were never much of an offensive team. They definitely weren't an offensive team this week, and they weren't a defensive team either. Michigan coming out, they're playing well, they're having fun, they're running the footy. They just love it. 42-3, and they just absolutely solidified their spot as number two team in the nation.
Yeah, I mean, what a turnaround for this program and Jim Harbaugh. Last year, I think they started the season 2-4 and really struggled, and there was calls for his head to be gone. And look, they were, I think they're the first team ever, I mean, I dare say they are the first team ever to make the Final Four after not being ranked in the preseason polls.
Yeah, they are. So they went huge. They toppled everyone, Ohio State. And look, to be fair, they probably should have been undefeated because that call against Michigan State, we've talked about it a couple of times, no need to roll back over, closed doors. But anyways, they come in really strong, and I think they're going to put together a great semifinal. We could very well potentially see them in the final.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, does this leave us with the piece de resistance, the Bama-Georgia SEC championship game?
Not quite yet. We've got to talk about our boys, the Bearcats, first. They came out against Houston. We thought this may be a banana peel game for them. It was 12-0 versus Houston, 11-1. But Cincinnati held serve. It was great to see them. They claimed the AAC crown. Ritter came out, threw three touchdowns. Thought this was going to be a shootout. The first quarter, 10-14 each. But then, they were able to lock down and not let Houston do anything, and the Bearcats ran wild.
Yeah, how could I forget this? This was brilliant. So, look, we've really excited for them. They stormed the field after the game. We saw our boy Mason Fletcher smoking cigars and doing shooies in the change room. Now, I think this sets us up for two Aussies against each other in the first week with James Burnip and Mason Fletcher, 1v4. Mm. And then that means we will have an Aussie in the final.
Yeah, we love that. So, as you mentioned, we're going to have first place is Alabama because they leapfrogged everyone because they had a great game. Bryce Young basically sealed the Heisman with a 41-24 win over the previously undefeated Georgia.
Yeah, this was great to see. And we talked about, I think they sort of pressured what we said was Georgia's biggest weakness was the quarterback play. Now, Stetson Bennett didn't play horribly, I don't believe, but I think that was Georgia's biggest weakness. And the defense really got picked apart, I suppose. Like, they hadn't let in many points all year, 80-odd points for the whole year, average of about 7 or 8 a game. And Bama just came out. I mean, this is the thing about Bama. You can't really count them out. And you do that to Saban, gets a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he comes out and blows them out.
Well, he's just like the college Bill, isn't he? As we said, they're always going to be inevitable. So, look, yeah, Stetson Bennett, 340 yards, 3 TDs and 2 interceptions. But unfortunately, he basically sealed the game with those interceptions. So they got an interception return there late, Alabama. Bryce Young was great. He's been killing it lately. I think, as we sort of mentioned, he's one of the Heisman finalists, but we've seen in previous years, the Heisman has been won by someone balling out in the playoffs or their championship game. He's pretty much, I think you look at it, Kenny Pickett and probably CJ Stroud, probably the best numbers in the league overall, I think. Bryce Young just sort of sitting behind him, but just because he's got those championship wins and he's got that win close, he's probably going to win it for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I think that's completely fair. Now, coming out of this game, probably the biggest thing for Bama is the loss of John Metchie to an ACL injury, which, I mean, that not only hurts Bama, but I think he probably would have been going to the draft this year and looking at one of the top picks. So that could hurt him in the future.
Yeah, ACL, wasn't it? So, look, it was a great week of championship games. Now we move on to the bowls. This week, though, we've got the classic Army v. Navy. The guys that don't actually pass it. So this will be like a Mac Jones fight game. We love that about them. But look, and then we move on to some of the bowls. The early ones coming up, we've got the Bahamas Bowl, MTSU versus Toledo. We've got the Tail Greeter Bowl, Northern Illinois versus Coastal Carolina. And then on Sunday, we've got a couple others, Western Kentucky versus Appalachian State. Western Kentucky, our boy Bailey Zapp, he's been huge, hasn't he? He may be there to break Joe Burrow's record. A couple others, Fresno State, our guys as well. They're playing in the New Mexico Bowl. And then we've also got BYU take on UAB and Louisiana play Marshall to roll up this weekend's fixtures.
Yeah, I suppose those early fixtures are teams that sort of aren't really that ranked, and they're sort of the ones that had a decent record but not really something to write home about. But look, yeah, I mean, all bowl games are pretty fun to watch. But I think, no, we're just so excited for the top four. Now, the top four have been announced. So what have we got? We've got Bama 1, Michigan 2, Cincinnati 3, and Georgia 3 and Cincinnati 4. My apologies.
Yeah, no, I think that was a great way to rank it. Look, probably Georgia. I think if it had been any other team other than the Bearcats, Georgia may have found themselves playing number four. But obviously to avoid another rematch of Alabama-Georgia, they probably rolled that one. And I think Michigan versus Georgia is going to be unreal. Those both two defenses. We got Aiden Hutchinson as well, another Heisman favorite for Michigan, who's come to the end of the year in a storm. He'll be taking on. You see them playing Stetson Bennett. He should give him a run for his money. But yeah, Bearcats, it'll be lovely to see them going up against Alabama, a non-top Power 5 conference team, taking it to the big boys.
Yeah, it'd be the first time for a group of five, but I think that's just such a hard matchup for them. Like, I think the group of fives are probably going to get a bad rap because they've made it once and they may get blown out, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
That's it. We love it. So we'll be there for the New Year's Six for those ones. But I think that basically wraps us up for this week, doesn't it, Kemi?
Yeah, this wraps us up for this week. Now, we were talking about, I guess the only big news we've got is we got a special guest coming on very soon. We've got Bailey Flint from the University of Toledo. We talked about them before. So we'll have a chat to him before he heads off to the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah, so get strapped in for that one. That'll be a good one. And we'll see you then.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.